We're moving now into territory that I think deserves serious attention from anyone building AI-facing products. A developer named Fernando, posting under Kuchoy on HN, wrote up what happened after he deliberately invited 2,000 people to try to break his AI-powered legal assistant. The post is titled, "What Happened After 2K People Tried to Hack My AI Assistant," and the results are a fairly sobering taxonomy of AI attack vectors in the wild.
The attacks Fernando documented fell into several categories. The most common were prompt injection attempts, users trying to override the assistant's system instructions by embedding commands in their queries. He also documented jailbreaking attempts, where users tried to get the model to generate content outside its intended scope, and what he called context poisoning, feeding the assistant false information earlier in a conversation to manipulate its later responses. The thing that stands out is that a significant portion of the attacks came not from technically sophisticated actors, but from curious everyday users just experimenting.
From a security engineering perspective, this maps to something well understood in traditional software security. The threat model for a public-facing system is fundamentally different from a private one. When you expose an AI assistant to the open internet, you're not dealing with a narrow set of adversarial actors. You're dealing with the full distribution of human curiosity, mischief, and malice. Fernando's conclusion was essentially that prompt injection is not a solved problem, and that any system handling sensitive information needs defense in depth rather than relying on a single layer of guardrails.
The legal context for his assistant adds another dimension. A legal AI assistant that can be manipulated into giving incorrect legal guidance isn't just a product bug, it's a potential liability. The 71HN comments included a lot of discussion about whether AI assistants in high-stakes domains like legal, medical, or financial advice should even be publicly accessible without identity verification. Which brings us directly to the next story.
The Papers, Please Internet piece from FIRE, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, has 352 comments and 766 upvotes, making it one of the most discussed pieces on HN this week. The argument is direct. A growing number of legislative proposals, particularly around age verification for social media and online content, are creating the infrastructure for what the author calls a Papers, Please Internet, one where accessing significant portions of the web requires presenting verified identity credentials.
The privacy implications are substantial, and I want to explain why this isn't a simple trade-off. The argument for age verification, protecting minors from harmful content, is genuine and important. But the technical implementation of age verification at scale requires either a centralized identity database or the involvement of third-party brokers who aggregate and monetize verification data. Neither option has a clean privacy track record. The UK's Online Safety Act has already run into exactly this problem, where the mandated age verification systems created new surveillance infrastructure that critics argued was more dangerous than the problem it was solving.
There's also a chilling effect dynamic that the FIRE piece documents carefully. When accessing certain categories of content requires presenting verified identity, people self-censor, not because the content is illegal, but because they don't want a record of having accessed it. Political content, health information, legal research, religious material, all of these are categories where people have historically sought information anonymously for entirely legitimate reasons. Collapsing that anonymity changes the behavior, not just for bad actors, but for everyone.
This is where I want to bring in our curriculum corner for today, because there's actually an antitrust dimension to this that's worth unpacking. Some of the companies pushing for specific technical implementations of age verification have competitive interests in those implementations. If a major platform can influence the regulatory process so that the mandated verification standard happens to be one they already implement, or one that creates significant compliance costs for smaller competitors, that's antitrust relevant behavior. So let me take a moment to explain how antitrust law actually works here.
Please do, because I think this context is genuinely missing from most of the coverage.
The Sherman Antitrust Act, passed in 1890, is the foundation of U.S. competition law. It has two main provisions, Section 1 prohibits agreements between competitors that restrain trade, and Section 2 prohibits monopolization. The key thing that people misunderstand about monopoly law is that having a large market share is not itself illegal. You can be the dominant player in a market through superior products or legitimate business practices, and that's fine. What's illegal is using monopoly power, market dominance, to exclude competition or harm consumers through anti-competitive conduct. The classic test courts apply is whether the defendant's conduct has a legitimate business justification or whether it only makes economic sense as a way to harm competitors. A major platform lobbying for verification standards that happen to entrench its existing infrastructure has a legitimate argument: we're just advocating for safety. But if the real effect is to exclude competitors who can't afford compliance, courts have found that kind of regulatory capture to be antitrust relevant. The key lesson is that antitrust is about conduct and effect, not just size.
And the political economy of this matters too. Regulatory capture through standard setting is one of the oldest mechanisms in the book. The incumbents who have the resources to participate in regulatory comment periods and standards bodies end up shaping the rules in ways that favor their existing architectures. Smaller competitors and new entrants don't have that access, so the rules get written for the big players by default. That dynamic is playing out very visibly in the age verification debate right now.
The HN community's response to the fire piece was notably cross-partisan. People from very different political starting points found common ground on the privacy and free expression concerns. That kind of convergence is relatively rare on politically charged topics, and I think it reflects a genuine shared anxiety about what the internet looks like if identity verification becomes ubiquitous.